Morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Hey in Chulin. Back on Ayin Dal Amud Aleph, and we're at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud, and we're going to continue the discussion of the Gemara, Ben Shmona, the 8-month-old gestated baby. So again, from the time of the Gemara, Bizmana Gemara, during the time of the Gemara, 8 months was just simply not viable. We're all aware of that, Nishtanu Atevan, the nature has changed. As such, but back then, that's the reality that they were dealing with. So the Mishmona, the 8-month-old gestated baby, is simply has no life, has no viability. It's simply not a life force. Okay, so you go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that when it comes to this Ben Shmona, so Shechita is not going to be Metaher. Shechita just simply won't be Metaher for the simple reason that it's not viable. And Ein Bimino Shechita. Just there's no species of such that is subject to Shechita, so therefore Shechita won't be Metairit. That is what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Gemara picks up right on this point. Vehatanya, the Gemara points out, we learned in a Braisa, and it seems to be from this Braisa the conclusion is totally different. Ben Shmona Chai Yochich. Sha'afa Pishyesh Bimino Shechita, Ein Shechita Metairaso. So in the Braisa it says that there is Shechita by the 8-month-old, and Shechita is Metair, and Shechita is in fact going to be Metairit. So blatant contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa regarding the viability of Shechita for an 8-month-old. So Amrav Kani Yesh Bimino Shechita Agav Imo, V'tani Didan Minadim Alo Parach. So the Gemara says, look, it's very simple. You can shecht an 8-month-old fetus, not it itself, obviously, because it doesn't have any viability. But as long as it's inside the mother, and as long as you shecht the mother, it's Nita Ayideh Shechita Simo. It's shechted with the mother, via the mother. So when the Braisa says you could shecht the 8-month-old, it means you could shecht the mother, which would work for the 8-month-old. What about our Mishnah? The explanation of our Mishnah is very simple. Because that's shechting the mother. Meaning, as a function of shechting the mother, so then yes, you could shecht an 8-month-old. But if you're asking the question, can I shecht an 8-month-old? The answer is going to be no. Well, the high time of the parach. Correct. It's not right. Our Mishnah is just dealing from the perspective of the fetus itself. So how do I know that if I shech the trefa mitaret? Okay, right. Simple question the Gemara now wants to know, something that we've been a reality that we've been dealing with from the very beginning of the Masechta. You have a trefa, you shecht it; it doesn't become a nevela. You're not allowed to eat it, but still the shechita was to a degree effective. How do I know that? Nafkalim Rav Yehuda Marav, Dam Rav Yehuda Marav, Amri La B'Masnisa Tana, Amakra. Start with the Pasuk Shmini again, V'chiyamus Mina Behema. If some of the animals die, right? V'chiyamus Mina Behema. Mixas Behema Mitama, Mixas Behema Eino Mitama. V'ezezuzu Trefa Sheshachta. There's a possibility of an animal dying and not giving off Tuma. How is that possible? I have a Trefa, I Shechta Trefa. That such a Trefa will not give off Tuma. By Rav Oshia, Hoshi and Siyad Olamei Behema V'Shachet Ben Teschai Mahu. Okay, we start a related discussion. What if you go into the womb of a mother Ben Teschai? It is a fetus 9 months old, which means that it's a term animal, and you shecht such an animal inside the mother. So, ma'u tibay l'rameir v'tibay l'rabana. Now, this question can go according to Rameir and according to the Chachamim. Now, we haven't seen Rameir yet in the Mishnah. Okay? And in just about under 5 minutes, we're going to see Rameir in the Mishnah for the first time, even though we made a lot of reference to this Rameir position. And the Rameir position basically goes like this. You shecht the mother, there's a fetus inside. Then, after the shechita of the mother, the fetus comes out as a live baby, and you raise it and you grow it. Rav Meir says you need to shecht the baby. That's Rav Meir's position. Rav Meir is not a believer in this whole concept of ben pakua. Rav Meir says that the baby comes out, you have to shecht the mother. You have to shecht the baby. And then the Chachamim obviously say no. The Chachamim say there's this concept of ben pakua. No, you don't have to shecht it. Once you shecht the mother and the fetus is inside, the fetus is now considered shechted. Even if it's alive, even if it comes out, even 4 or 5 years later, it doesn't need shechita. We'll see all this in the Mishnah in just a moment. But meanwhile, now we're working a little bit backwards, as we sometimes do. Now that you know that, now you understand the complexity of this question. you go inside the mother, you shech the fetus inside the mother. Okay, it's hard to see what's going on in there, right? Hard to even put... Right, the knife also is going to be hard, but it's a fetus, so the knife that you use doesn't have to be that long. Okay, or you could remember also we talked about using your fingernails, although fingernail can't be attached to your body because that's mechubar, and we said that mechubar, you can't use mechubar. Okay. Sometimes challenges. Anyway, Tibala Rameir. So Ad Kan Lo Kama Rav Meir Ben Pekua Tam Shechita Hani Melech Diyas Alavi Olam. Because look, we can go like Rav Meir, and still the question is a good question because Rav Meir says that the baby needs shechita. Correct. After it comes out, it needs its own shechita. But one, you can make the argument that while it's still inside, it's impervious, so to say, to shechita. Aval b'me'ima lo shari le'shechita. Shechita won't work while the animal's inside. Or maybe the question going like the Chachamim. Now, how can that be? Because according to the Chachamim, shechting the mother is shechting the fetus. So then how can I shecht the fetus without the mother? How can I go inside and shecht the fetus? Isn't the whole fetus connected, linked to the mother? So the Gemara provides a chiddush. We're going to hear this chiddush two times today, which is good. You know, by the second time, we may fully understand it. The Gemara says, Dalet simanim achshe beirachmana. There are four simanim, there are four pipes. Meaning that according to the Chachamim, the way to view the baby is that it could be that I have two simanim of the mother, that will work in terms of being mat to the baby, or I have two simanim of the baby. I say baby, by the way, this is in utero. Right? Two simanim of the fetus. So, and all I need to do is cut two pipes. Doesn't matter which two pipes. I can cut two pipes. So I can go to the mother, shech the mother. That would be a good shechita for the fetus. Or I have a bypass. I can go inside. I can shech the fetus. And that would also be a good shechita for the fetus. Dalet simanim ichshe beirachmana. There are four simanim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina Tashma, Rishanolda Trefa min Abetin. The Gemara says, well, maybe the answer to this question can be deduced from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah made an argument. One of the arguments of our Mishnah was, what if it was a congenital trefa, which means that it was a trefa from its birth? Now, iisa mishkachale dehaisa lashasa kosher. Now, the point that Mishnah was making is, you see that you can have an animal that was never mutter. Well, why don't we say this? If you're right, if we can go into the fetus and if we can go into the womb and shech the fetus in utero, so now it comes out that there is a shas hakosher. There's a time where this calf would have been permitted, even if the trefa was congenital, because we could shech it in utero, and that would mean that it had a shas hakosher. So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't mean anything. In fact, I disagree. Because when the Mishnah says, Nolda, it was born with a trefa, we'll just tweak the Mishnah a little bit. Just a little bit. Not Nolda betrefa, but Notzra betrefa. It was conceived. It goes all the way back to the point of conception. From the moment that this fetus started forming, it was a trefa. Now, how does a we're not talking now about a baby that came to term. We're talking about, you know, pregnancy, gestation, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. How can it possibly be a trefa that early? The Gemara recognizes that that's an issue, and the Gemara gives an example. Umishkachas lay, and we do find it bebalas hay raglayim. Oh, because it had five legs. Remember, five legs, right? What's the principle that we learned earlier in the Masechta? That yeser is kechaser, that more is less, okay? Five legs means it really has three legs, right? If it has two legs coming out of one extremity, so we basically say two is zero, okay? The new math of today, right? Two is zero, so that means now that it only has three legs. We know that a three-legged animal is a trefa, and that's how we would know that such an animal is congenitally a trefa, from not just from the point of birth, even from the point of conception. Okay, good. We start with and we're going to go by the Chacham. Okay, we're going to start now the new Mishnah. Okay, can I tell you? I mean, God willing, we're going to do a lot of Gemara today. Hopefully, we'll get to not just Ayin Hey, but deep into Ayin Hey. I'd say we finish Ayin Hey, but I'm not going to say that because we're not going to finish Ayin Hey. But let me tell you, The Gemara from this point forward is going to basically be asking the following question in a number of different permutations. We're going to learn the Mishnah, we're going to go through the Gemara, but if I may, and I could just preview now the upcoming Gemara, the question is really simple. The fetus of this animal, is it a dependent or an independent part of the animal? Okay? Like what we've been talking about now for the past couple number of days. It's a bottom line question, meaning that really is, you're going to see a lot of machlokas, you're going to see a lot of questions being raised. The question really turns into dependent or independent part of the animal. So let's see, the Mishnah starts off. Huh? The answer is not. I can't give a straightforward answer. Hashochet es abehem umatza ben shmona chai o meis o ben tisha meis koro umotzi es dama. Okay, so you shechted an animal, right? Female animal pregnant with a fetus inside. The Mishnah says, if the fetus inside is 8 months, now 8 months, of course, has no viability, so it doesn't matter if the fetus is alive or dead, or even if you find it 9 months, and it's dead, so, koro umotzi es damo. So you tear it out, and you remove the blood. Meaning, enjoy. I don't know how much you're going to enjoy. It is a fetus. I don't know, perhaps some places it may be considered a delicacy, but enjoy. The Mishnah says the only thing you can't do is you can't eat the blood. Right? Because blood is aser. Obviously, you could ask two other questions. What about the Gidonasha? What about the Chelev, the forbidden fats? Okay, those are good questions. Hold on those questions. But right now, the Mishnah says you can't eat the blood. So you got to extract the blood. No, you don't need to shecht it. Just enjoy. Do I mean that even by the 8-month-old that's alive? Don't know. Okay. I can't imagine. But matzah ben tesha chai. What if it's 9 months? 9 month gestated baby. So that means it's term. It went to term, and then you shechted the mother. So ta'un shchita v'chai be'osa v'esmeno divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir says, once the baby's at term, it's totally independent. Meaning, this fetus now, that's in utero, is a totally independent entity, even while inside. That means that if I shech the mother, and I took the baby out, and the baby's alive, so it needs its own shechita. It also means, listen carefully, this is amazing, it also means I can't shech it today. Right. Because in the fifth perek of Chulin, that's the upcoming perek, God willing, we'll get to it next week. In the fifth perek of Chulin, we're going to learn an entire perek dedicated to the topic of Osav Esbeno. Osav Esbeno, lo sishchutu b'yam echad. You can't shecht mother and daughter on the same day. So here, I shechted mother today. The fetus now comes out, right, after post-shechita. I can't shecht it today, because according to Rav Meir, it is totally independent. Osav Esbeno. An offspring and its mother. The Gemara in the fifth parak will discuss, does this rule apply to the father and its offspring? Okay, that's a fifth parak discussion. So, Taun Shechita v'chai b'osav esbeno divrei Meir. V'chachamim omrim Shechita imo mitaraso. And the Chachamim say, no, Shechita of the mother is going to be mitar of the fetus. The fetus is inside, the fetus is full term. Even though when you shechted the mother, the fetus is alive, it's okay, you shechted the fetus. Why? Because the fetus is a dependent part of the mother. So if I shechted mother, that means by definition, by dint, I shechted the fetus as well. We'll get to that. That's the end of the sugya. That's Ein Ham and Beis. Okay. It's the right question to ask. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, Amar Afil ben Chamesh Anim, V'chosh Besadish Chitas Hima Matarasa. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, look, we'll go one step further. 4 years later, 5 years later, this animal, which was found inside of the shechted mother, that was at full term, this particular animal now, 4 years later, is plowing in the field. Okay? And we know it's the same animal. And Rav Shimon Shazuri says, it's shechted. You see that animal that's plowing right now? That's a shechted animal. And the person I'm talking to would think I'm crazy. You mean we will shecht it? And I'm saying no. It is shechted. It's a shechted animal, okay? Because the concept ben pekua. So ben chamishanim v'chavish basadish chitasim ha'matarasa. Karu matzo ba ben teschai Okay? What if I don't check the mother? What if I tore open the and I got the fetus out while not shechting the mother? So then the Mishnah says, so that's it. You need to shecht the fetus. Now that is a big chiddush because you might have thought that it didn't experience the birth. It's not its own separate entity. It's not an animal. You can't shecht it. The Mishnah says no. It has the ability to be shechted. Okay, good. We start with the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Oshia. Now this first bit of Gemara is a little bit tricky. There are girsa issues over here with the Gemara. Rashi and Tosfos argue in terms of what the correct girsa is. For the purpose of the daf today, we will follow Rashi. Okay, we traditionally do. In this particular case, we will follow Rashi. So the Gemara goes like this: Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yoshia, Lo Hilchabo Ela Aliske Shchita Bavad. Look, we know there's a debate in the Mishnah. That's clear. There's a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of how to view a full-term fetus inside of the mother. Is it a independent entity, Shitas Rabbi Meir, or is it a dependent entity, Shitas Chachamim? Nafkamin, the practical difference would be, what if I shech the mother? If I shech the mother, so Rabbi Meir says, good, you can eat the mother. You can't eat the fetus. Fetus requires its own shechita. According to the Chachamim, if I shech the mother, this received a shechita as well. So that's, in simple lumdus, that's really the question of the Mishnah. Is the fetus a dependent or an independent entity? Now, even according to the Chachamim who maintain that it's a dependent entity, okay, you still can ask the basic question, such a basic question. Well, what is it? Right? In other words, describe for me, not in physical terms, not in anatomical terms, but in halachic terminology, what is that thing inside? If it's a baby, it's a fetus, good. But what is it? Is it an animal, or is it just simply part of the mother, right? A limb of the mother makes a big difference, makes a very big difference in terms of a lot of halachas. Notably, can I eat the chalav of the fetus? Okay. If it's just a limb of an animal, so then we're not going to look at the animal and say, oh, that part's chalav, that part's not chalav. It's just a limb of an animal. Right, there are parts of an animal that has chalav in it, but not its limbs. The chalav is around the organs. We talked about it in the middle of the third parak of Chulin. Can I eat its gidanasha? Well, it depends. If it's an animal inside, so then it has a gidanasha. If the way we're going to look at it is just simply a limb, right, just part of the mother, okay, maybe not.
But the limb is gidanasha in it.
The limb has a gidanasha in it, but the leg of an animal has a gidanasha in it. This is not a leg.
It's an appendage.
Okay. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yoshua, lo hilchabo ela aliske shechita bavad, lemute, mai lemute chelbo v'gido. Okay, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Oshia that the only debate that's transpiring in the Mishnah is, does shechita work for it or not? But vis-a-vis the halacha of chelev, and vis-a-vis the halacha of gidanasha, there is a debate. I'm sorry. No, I take that back. So the Gemara says there's no debate. Everybody agrees that the chelev of the fetus is chelev. The gidanasha of the fetus is gidanasha. Okay? So even according to the Chachamim who maintains that this fetus inside is dependent, is appendage, but it still maintains its characteristics of an animal. Therefore, you can't eat its chalav, therefore, you can't eat its gidanasha.
It's only these two things?
Well,
how about
your
mother?
Oh, good. Wait. There are going to be other halachas. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Rashi's lead now. Next line of Gemara, we're going to skip, right? Starting with the words chalbo damai, ilay mechalbo deshalo, and just simply now pick it up from the words miflag pligi. Look at Rashi for a more elaborate explanation in terms of why that doesn't belong. Tosfos believes that line does in fact belong. Again, I'm just going to follow just a simple reading of the Gemara according to Rashi. So the Gemara says, Miflag Pligi, what are you talking about? They argue about that very issue. Detailing the Gemara says, well, look at the Braisa. It also, that you see in the side of the Gemara, it's a Tosefta as well. Gid anasha noag b'shalo. V'chalba also, divra me'ra, v'yuhura amir, eno noag b'shalo, v'chalba mutter. the Braisa says very clearly, machlokes between Rameir and Rav Yehuda in terms of the permissibility of the chelav of a fetus and the gittin usher of the fetus. So don't tell me that our Mishnah is only talking about shechita. Our Mishnah is going more comprehensively. There are party lines of how to view this fetus. Is this fetus considered its own independent entity? Or no, is a fetus considered an appendage, an attachment, just a limb of the mother? And if you hold that it's an appendage, so then you understand the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that chelev, that the gittin usher doesn't apply to a fetus, and the chelev is mutter of a fetus because it's not a fetus. It inside its appendage. So v'amar Rav Elazar Rav Yoshi amachlokes, yeah. V'amar Rav Elazar v'amar Rav Yoshi amachlokes beben teschai v'halach Rameir l'shitas Rav Yehuda l'shitaso. And Rav Yoshi, when learning this brisa, says, what kind of fetus are we talking about? We're talking about a fetus that is ben teschai, full term, inside, and everybody's consistent. Meaning Rav Meir l'shitaso, Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that animal requires its own shechita. That animal is an independent animal. Good. Now you go back to Rav Meir that we of 3 lines ago in the Gemara, the Rav Meir quoted in the Braisa. Now you understand. I can't eat the chelav of such an animal, of said animal, right? Because it's its own independent entity, even while inside. I can't eat the gittin usher of said animal. Correct, because it's an independent entity. And Rav Yehuda, who in our Mishnah is just simply the Tanakama, that I understand as well, because shechting the mother is shechting the fetus. The fetus is only now considered appendage. It's not considered its own independent entity. And so therefore there's no such thing as chelav. Therefore there's no such thing as gittin usher of such animal. Rav Yehuda l'shita so. Okay. And No. The gittin usher is biblically prohibited. There are some aspects of the gittin usher, the shuman of the gittin usher, that is rabbinic, but the gittin usher itself is a biblical prohibition. It's an issur d'oraisa. Sorry. Yeah, and now, just making sure I'm right about this. Right? Yeah. Okay. And again, I'm following Rashi's lead. We're going to skip the next 4 lines of Gemara. This is a great way to catch up to where we need to be. Just skip Gemara. Nope. I'm making light. I apologize. I'm just, Rashi says, this is the correct way to read the Gemara. The lines that I'm skipping right now are part of a different sugya, and Rashi makes the argument. Again, I'm just sketching Rashi. I'm not really explaining. When the Gemara has a sugya repeated in different areas, sometimes lines of the Gemara that weren't meant for this discussion comes up because it was used elsewhere.
So this is a repeat of what was before,
or what's coming up later. Right. Again. Later on, I'll go Rashi with more clarity, if you want, and I'll explain to you. But Rashi just simply says it doesn't belong here. So skip 4 lines of Gemara. Ela I itmar hachi itmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, can't be. Meaning, the issue between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is much more than just a shechita issue. They really are party lines in terms of how to view the fetus. Is it an independent entity, even in utero, once it gets the term? That is shechita's Rav Meir. Or Shitas HaChachamim, which we'll also call Rav Yehuda, is no. While inside, even a term, it's an appendage of the mother. Okay. So, Ela, I itmar hachi itmar amar Elazar amar Rav Yoshi alo hilchubo ela iske achila bovad. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, on issues that deal with eating this animal, party lines. Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says it's independent, therefore it requires its own shechita, therefore you can't eat the chelev, therefore you can't eat the gittin usher. And the Chachamim say, no, it's an appendage. Therefore, it doesn't require its own shechita, and therefore I can eat the chelev and the gittin usher on any aspect that has to do with eating this animal. However, if it has to do with non-eating issues, Gemara is going to give 2 examples. Lemeute rov'o v'charish bo, in terms of, number 1, crossbreeding. Meaning, I take out this term fetus after having shechted the mother, and I raise it. Right? I decide not to eat it. I decide to keep it alive, and I raise it. So I'm not allowed to cross him with this animal. You could make the argument that it's not an entity. It's not in its own entity. No. Even the Chachamim will agree that this is, to a certain degree, a cow or whatever it is, whatever animal it is. And consequently, you cannot cross this animal.
Does the Chachamim say that it will never become an entity?
Vis-a-vis Achila, yes. Vis-a-vis other halachas, which the Gemara now is quoting, it is its own entity. It is something. Hard to put your finger on what exactly it is, but it's definitely something. So in terms of Ravo, in terms of crossing, v'choresh bo. And also, there's an isser of not plowing two different animals, hooking up two different animals to the same plow.
If you offered the mother as a korban after it gave birth, right? Can you offer this offspring? Can you offer the offspring as an independent korban?
Right. Right. Okay, so I believe we're going to touch on that very issue in just a moment. I think so. Pretty sure. Rav Yochanan now get into the following debate. Good. Now we have the facts on the ground. There is a basic machlokas between Rameir and the Chachamim how to view this fetus inside of its mother, the fetus that went to full term. Again, according to Rameir, it is an independent entity. You can't eat the chalev and you can't eat the Ginanasha. That is a fact. The Tosefta says it. Those are facts on the ground. According to the Chachamim, it's a dependent entity. It's still considered an appendage to the mother. And so therefore, in utero, it's not a fetus. It is just simply an appendage of the mother. And according to the Chachamim, you can eat the fat and you can eat the chalev. Now, that's our starting point. Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish says, how about now let's take it to the next level, which is, how about the blood of said fetus? Can I eat the blood of said fetus? Now, what's going to confuse everybody, as it confused me, is the Mishnah said no. And the Gemara is going to note that in just a moment. But right now, let's forget the Mishnah. And some of us already did a good job forgetting the Mishnah. And let's just think about it from a Lamda's perspective. Okay? The answer would be, this is Reish Lakish's position, party lines. Right, according to Rameir, it's an independent entity, so of course I can't eat the blood of the fetus. Blood of the fetus is blood. And according to the Chachamim, where it's just simply an appendage of the mother, so maybe its blood is not considered blood.
Why? Because each part of the animal
just
itself,
like chalev, isn't it?
Just like the chalev of it is not chalev, and just like the gitanasha of it is not gitanasha, so the argument you can make is the blood of it is not blood. Okay, so good. I'm right now trying to explain Reish Lakish. Okay, I know it's hard to understand, but that's the position of Reish Lakish.
You can eat the blood of the liver, which is part of
okay,
the
right.
So what is the question?
All right, so Reish Lakish believes party lines. Everyone would be following party lines. And Rav Yochanan disagrees, and Rav Yochanan says, no, even the one that says that you can eat the chalev and you can eat the Ginanasha, meaning the Chachamim, meaning Rav Yehuda, will say blood's different. Okay, this may appeal to you a little bit better. The blood is different, Asa B'damo. And the reason why, or the Gemara doesn't really give an explanation, but presumably the reason why is because, right, because blood is more circulatory. Meaning that the blood that circulates through the mother also circulates through the fetus. And it's hard to differentiate blood of fetus and blood of the mother.
It's not the same blood, though.
Is there communication between blood of fetus and blood of mother?
There's no interaction.
It could be, potentially, yeah, with the placenta. Yeah.
If there's a trauma or whatever.
But
usually
not. No, okay, generally
not. Usually not, really?
No.
It gets the oxygen from the mother's blood, but it's like
Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan's right in the room with us. Which one is Reish Lakish and which one is Rav Yochanan? Okay. Okay. Ezrei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Shimon Ben Lakish Karo Motzes Damo. So now the Gemara is gonna say, wait a second, wait a second. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah said unequivocally, Koru Motzos Damo, that if you tear open the mother and you take out the fetus, so you have to remove the blood. So I'm Reb Zera Lama Shein and Ashkaris. So Reb Zera says, of course you're right. Of course you can't eat the blood. Never up for discussion. The Mishnah says you can't eat the blood of the fetus. What the only thing up for discussion is, what degree of liability are we talking about when you eat that blood? If you eat that blood, you can't. Everyone agrees, you can't. But what are we talking about? Are we talking about Nisar Kares? So, Leman Kamri Rav Yehuda Lo Yehei Ela Dama Tamsis. So the Gemara says, well, let's sharpen this even further. Look, according to Rav Yehuda, we basically should be talking about Dam Tamsis. Now, when we get to Krisis, we're going to discuss this at length. There basically is three different types of bloods. We can put blood into three categories. There's number one, Dam HaNefesh. Dam HaNefesh is the blood that comes out that causes the animal to lose life and vitality. Okay? Like when you shech, that first gush of blood that comes out, that's Dam HaNefesh. After the animal's dead, you squeeze the blood, squeeze more blood out, that's Dam HaTamtzis. Both Dam HaNefesh and Dam HaTamtzis are Usser. Dam HaNefesh is an Isser Kares. And Dam Tamsis is only a lav, only a negative prohibition. There's a third category. Okay, wait till Krisis. We'll talk about it then. All right, the Tanya. Now, we learned in the Brisa, Dam Tamsis, Bazar, Rav Yehuda, Amar, Rabbi Hikares. Now, the Machlok is treating the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda about exactly this point. So, Tanakam says Dam Tamsis is a lav, it's a negative prohibition. And Rav Yehuda goes one step further, and he says that it should be an Isser Kares. So, it comes out now, according to Rav Yehuda. So once you're dealing with Dam HaTamtzis, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that there's no difference. It's still going to be an Isser Kares. So according to Rav Yehuda, there should be no difference in terms of how we're going to categorize the blood of a fetus. The Isser is an Isser Kares. Blood, according to Rav Yehuda, is blood. And so therefore the punishment should be Kares.
How you extract it?
Okay, so Tirgum of Rav Yosef, Bered Rav Salah, Chasidah, Kamed Rav Papa, Isla the Rav Yehuda, Dam v'chol dam. Kol hecha de mechayev adam ha-nefesh, mechayev adam ha-tamsis, v'chol hecha de lo mechayev adam ha-nefesh, lo mechayev adam ha-tamsis. So the Gemara says, no, we're a little more nuanced in Rav Yehuda's position. Yes, Rav Yehuda is of the position that dam ha-tamsis is an Isser Kares, but that's only if there is also dam nefesh. Meaning, if there is categorically dam nefesh and dam tamsis, so the dam ha-nefesh is going to be Kares, so is dam tamsis. But if there's no Dam HaNefesh, so then there's no Dam Tamsis. Here by the fetus, there is no Dam HaNefesh. So even according to Rav Yehuda, it gets downgraded from a Kares to a Lav. Good. Ibai Lahu. Ma'al Livdos Beben Pekua. All right. More of this question. So I told you, really, today's daf, the remainder of today's daf, is just, it's all just hitting the same question again and again. Just different variations of this question. How are we viewing our Ben Pekua? This animal that went full term, and then mother was shechted, and the animal was extracted after the Shechita. So, we know in our Mishnah, Rav Meir says it's a fully independent animal. According to the Chachamim, no, it's an appendage, it's a dependent animal. The animal is already considered now shechted. So, Aliba, the Gemara now asks the following question. Can I take this animal, our Ben Pekua, and can I use it for pidyon, for redemption? Okay. What am I redeeming right now? Petor Chamor. Okay. Your firstborn donkey. We all know the rule. Parsha's bow. Well, I only know because of my bar mitzvah parsha. But the Parsha's bow. So when you have a firstborn donkey, so it has kedusha. Well, you can't offer it as a carbon. It's not a kosher animal. So you have to be poda, you have to redeem it. What do you use to be poda with it? You use a seh, you use a sheep. What if this particular sheep is a ben pakua? Can I use this sheep to redeem your petor chamor? So look, according to Rameyer, I know the answer. Because according to Rameyer, it's an independent entity. It's an animal, it's a seh. It's no different than a sheep that was born. Okay, that I know for sure. Here's where it gets tricky. According to the Chachamim, what is it? We're gonna get stuck on this question for the rest of today. Okay, I apologize. It's gonna be a little bit frustrating, but really, it's a tough question to answer. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, it shechted. Now it happens to be walking and alive, and you know, it looks like a real animal, right? It walks, it talks. Well, it doesn't talk, but you know what I mean. Yes. Right, Ben asked up here a similar question. So again, just wait 1 second. The Gemara is going to touch on that. But right now, can I use it? The Gemara is asking a slightly milder version of that question. Can I use it to redeem my Petach Hamor, my firstborn donkey? So the Rabbanan Dar Mishchita Sima Matarasa, my Kevin Dar Mishchita Sima Matarasa, Kibisara Bidikulahu. Is it meat in the basket? Meaning, I know physically it's alive, it's animated, but halachically, it shechted. Is it like meat in the basket? On the other hand, it is running. It's showing a lot of great signs of life. So maybe it's considered a sheep. Okay. Okay. And the Gemara says machlokas, meaning machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Can I use pigeon for this? So Amalei Rav Ashi Lamar Zutra. So Rav Ashi says to Mar Zutra, "My daitech, what are you thinking?" The Gemara says, "Semi psachim," meaning why is it that you don't think it's a sheep? Because we're going to learn Gzeira Shava. It says that you have to redeem it with a sheep. It also says that you have to use a sheep for the Karban Pesach. Now the sheep for the Karban Pesach, that's got a lot of rules to it. It's got to be male. It's got to be within its first year of life. You mean to tell me that all those rules that apply to the Karban Pesach apply to this sheep as well? Just Gzeira Shava. So Ima Lahalan Zachar Tamim Ben Shana, Afkan Zachar Tamim Ben Shana, Tipate Tipa Deriba. So the Gemara says, but you know we don't have such Gzeira Shava because we know you have a ribui. You have Tipade Tipade, the superfluous usage of the word Tipade. E Tipade Tipade Riba, Fil Kamilanami, Imkain says Semaya Hanilach. So he says, yeah, but even though you have such a ribui, but still, the Gzeira Shava apparently was a tradition, it was a Mesorah, so we're going to basically balance a ribui and a Gzeira Shava. The ribui is I could use any type of set, it doesn't have to be a male, it doesn't have to be within its first year of life, it could be even after. That's what the ribui does. On the other hand, the Gzeira Shava is going to help to a certain degree that it has to be not just alive, but halachically alive as well. Okay. Ibai luhu ma limnos barisha visheni. Next question. Okay. Just make sure that we fully understand the basic laws of Tumah and Tahara before we entertain this next question of the Gemara. When you shecht an animal, the animal now is not an avela, but it's food. Right? And as such, food is now susceptible to tumah. But wait 1 second. In order for food to become susceptible to tumah, it first has to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. Okay. So it has to come into contact with a liquid, any one of the seven liquids. Blood, by the way, counts as one of the seven liquids. Important to know, as we're about to see in the Gemara. Okay. But now the animal is considered food. The fetus that's inside the animal, right, is also food. Right? Because I shecht the mother, I shecht the fetus as well. Okay. Is now, let's say this shechted animal comes into contact with a source of tumah, any source of tumah. So the animal now is going to be tame. The animal is a rishon. What's the fetus?
It's still inside the mother.
Still inside the mother. What's the right?
According to that bottom, it should be a rishon.
What's the fetus?
But the thing is, because that tumah didn't go inside, we had the whole concept that it
didn't. Tumah, no, but. Oh, because it's Tahara Blua.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but here, because over here, the animal's dead. Meaning when we talked about protecting, we were talking about because it was inside of something that was alive. Here it's dead, so here it's food, it's meat.
Why, if it's in the box?
No, but even that animal became tame before it was killed. No, the animal became tame.
Okay. All right. I think I'm giving you the correct answer. I'm second guessing myself a little bit. Okay.
If it's in the box, it's not alive.
Mahu limnos bo rishon v'sheni. Okay, so the Gemara's question now is, rishon v'sheni, how do we view that fetus? Is it a sheni l'tumah? Or is it a rishon? Rav Yochanan amar moshe monim bo rishon v'sheni, Rav Shimon lakish amar monim bo rishon v'sheni. Nase ke egos hamiskash kesh beklipaso. Rish Lakish says, no, it's like a nut in the shell. Right? Nut in the shell, it's one entity. This fetus, together with its mother, is one entity. Therefore, if something tummy touches the mother, meaning obviously poshkita, once it's now food, the same fate will be enjoyed by that fetus. That fetus will be a rishon l'tumah. The Gemara now challenges, Reish Lakish challenges Rav Yochanan. Let's go back to a mission that we did about 4 or 5 days ago. The meat is as if it touched a nevela, according to Rameir, the Chachamim said, no, it touched a shreifa that was shechted. Okay, the case, of course, is the case that we've been discussing at length, which is the limb of the fetus was protruded outside, and then while the limb is outside but the fetus is inside, you shech the mother. Now, that limb, what is that limb? Is that limb a nevela? Is that limb a treifa? I'll tell you what, for the purposes of this discussion, it doesn't matter. Here's all you need to know. The limb is something, either nevela or treifa, and the rest of the fetus is tameh. Why? Because it touched the limb. Well, it's not only touched the limb, it's connected to the limb. Okay, now let's think about this even one step further. In order for the fetus to be tameh, the fetus had to have been mukshel l'kabel tumah. It had to have come into contact with some sort of liquid. What? Correct. Hedy's correct. It's in a liquid. Amniotic fluid, though, I don't know, counts as one of the seven liquids. It has to be one of the seven liquids. Now, blood does count, okay, but...
Oh,
very good. Okay, you're right on task. So, Bisham ledidi da mina chad gufahu hainu di is kasha bedama di ime. So, Reish Lakish says, look, if you're me, life is good. Because how did the fetus become mukhshir l'kabel tumah? Because it's part of the mother. Mother came into contact with blood. So, the blood only has to touch one part of the food, and the whole food now is mukhshir l'kabel tumah. So for me, fetus and mother are one and the same. It is like a nut in the shell. And so therefore, for me, I totally get it. But for you, Rav Yochanan, eladidcha b'mayis kasher. So according to you, Rav Yochanan, how did the fetus become mukhshir l'kabel tumah? If you're counting one and two, if you're saying fetus is a separate entity from the mother, so amalei b'shchita cherabi Shimon. So Rav Yochanan and my good friend to my right thinks in similar terms. And he says, well, you know, shechita is also a machshir, at least according to Rabbi Shimon. Controversial, obviously, but still, we could say that the hechsher happened via the shechita.
The fact that you cut the limb and start bleeding, that blood can then machshir?
Could, but the argument between Rameir and the Chachamim is even prior to you cutting the limb.
Even if there's no blood.
Ezra Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon Malakish. Avar ben Nahar Hochshar Halach Lebeis Akvaros Nitma. This one's mind blowing. This is mind blowing. We have our Ben Pakua. It walks through a river, okay, which now means that it's wet. It's Mukshar. And now, after having walked through a river, it walks over a cemetery. Says the Braisa, the animal's tame. Now that's mind blowing.
They drag it to a river.
Understood. Here it's mind blowing because what the Bryce is saying is it's tame. Right. It's tame now. Not after you shacht it. It's tame now. Because this Bryce is working with the assumption that it's a Ben Pakua. It's a dead animal that happens to show fantastic signs of life. It's a walking dead animal. So Bishlam alididi da mina tre gufe neno misham hachi hochshar. So Reish Lakish once again says to Rav Yochanan, sorry, this one works the other way around. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, look, from my standpoint, you get it, right? meaning that even though you shechted the mother, and even though the mother became mukshal kabel tumah because the mother was sitting in its own blood, but we're talking not about the mother, we're talking about the ben pakur, we're talking about the fetus. And the Braisa says it's got to walk through water, then go over a cemetery. Why? According to you, Reish Lakish, what's with the walking through water? Isn't already mukshal kabel tumah just by simple virtue of the fact that it was inside the mother, and the mother already was mukshal kabel tumah? Because according to you, Reish Lakish, it's rishon and rishon. It's one and the same. Ela lidit chadam art chad gufahu ha iskasher bidama diime. But according to you, Reish Lakish, it's already pre-mukshered. So the Gemara's answer in defense of Reish Lakish is Bishchita Yevishta Udaloka Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara, this is the Gemara just being argumentative. Not to be difficult, just simply to point out that there is a way to defend Reish Lakish. You could say, as strange as an Ukimta as it is, that when you shechted the mother, there's no blood that came out, a dry Shchita, and the author of this Braisa doesn't subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe Shimon that Shchita is a Machshir. That's a case in which now the Ben Pakua is not pre-mukshered. It's a bizarre case, obviously. And that's why now the you need walking through the river, then walking over the cemetery.
Is it called Shchita?
Even if there's no blood. You wouldn't like it for a carbon, because the whole carbon needs blood. Okay, strange. Mantana Avar Benar Huchshar Halacha Beis HaKvaras Nitma. Now the Gemara now goes back and says, do you know that we just said something amazing, and the Gemara now would like to go back to that and discuss that a little more in depth, which is our Ben Pakua, which is walking, running, plowing, doing all the activities that a live animal would do, is not alive. It's dead. It walks over a cemetery, and now this animal's Mekabel Tumah. Live animals aren't Mekabel Tumah. This isn't alive. despite what the doctors will tell you. So the Gemara says, let's go back, let's explore that a little bit more. So Rav Yochanan says, I will show you a Tana that is exactly in line with this type of thinking, and that is Rav Yosei Aglili. So, Ditanya will learn a brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yosei Aglili, Matam and Tumas Ochlin, Vitzarech Hechsher. So, according to Rabbi Yosei Aglili, it's Matam and Tumas Ochlin. It's food. Right? There's the animal, you point to it, that's dinner. But you don't mean that it will shecht and it's going to be dinner. What you mean is, right now, that's dinner. Now, we'll talk about the Marasign issues, right? Phil raised that there are Marasign issues about just going over there and eating it. Okay, it's correct. But from a halachic standpoint, it's food. It's mekabel tumah. It's susceptible to tumas ochlin. And, of course, it needs hechsher. The chachamim are remain a matam in tumas ochlin, mem neshu chai, v'chol shu chai, in a matam in tumas ochlin. And the chachamim say, you got to be kidding me. That's a live animal. Live animals are not mekabel tumah. Okay, so again, right, unbelievable machlokas in terms of how to view this ben pakua. Azar Rav Yochanan Tamidam Rav Yochanan Rav Yosei Aglili Beit Shammai Amru Davar Echad. And now what we're going to do is we're going to line up Rav Yosei Aglili with another Tana, interestingly enough, Beit Shammai. The Amru Davar Echad, Rav Yosei Aglili Hadamar. Now Rav Yosei Aglili, we've established that our ben pakua is a live animal that's dead. It's meat, it's food. Beit Shammai did not dug in. Me'emasai mekablam tuma. Oh, this is a good one, right? Fish don't require shechita, right? We all know that. So what do? You put the pole in the water and you wait. and sometimes too long. But still, eventually a fish is going to come out. Now that fish, as it comes out of the water now, is going through the process of turning into a live animal, into your dinner. Now, once it's your dinner, it's food. It's mekabel tumah. When exactly is that threshold? When did it become fish and water to your dinner? That, okay? And the issue is, when is it mekabel tumah? Right. Great issue. Mekablin Tumah. Beit Shammai Amrim Mishi Yafsodu. Beit Hillel Amrim Mishi Yamutzer. Now, Beit Shammai is of the opinion, the moment that it goes into your trap,
that's it.
It's now considered dead food. Even though it's got all the symptoms and all the indications of life, Beit Shammai says it doesn't matter. It's now considered food. Right? Great alignment the Gemara just did. In that now we see that Beit Shammai, Rav Yosef, Glili are really on the same page. You can have an animal that shows you signs of life, but halachically is considered dead. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Mishah Shein Yechol L'Achios. Now Rabbi Akiva is somewhere in the middle between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Right. It is strange, and historically he's so much later, right? It's a great sensitivity to how Rabbi Akiva fits in. It's good. I don't know. So Mishah Shein Yechol L'Achios. Right, so from the time that it no longer can sustain my benayu, so the Gemara wants to know what's the practical difference. I'm Rav Yochanan Dag Mikartea Ika Benayu. Rashi says Dag Mikartea Mifarper, it's fluttering. Right, you know when for those of you who don't fish, right, to fish out of water, it's on the boat, it's jumping. Everyone gets excited when it jumps. Anyway, Mifarper Kagon Sheyavish Bo Kaselo Bein Snapi Rav Desulo Chai. However, it's to the point now where it's dry, and if I throw it back into the river, it's a helfnisht, it's done. Right? The Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Rashi, that is. Okay. By Rav Chista, Noldu Bedagim Simane Trefa Mahu. Is there such a thing as Trefa when it comes to fish? Okay, it's an interesting question. Right? Mahu Tibay Laman Dama Trefa Chai, Vitibay Laman Dama Trefa Einu Chai. Now look. One of the most classic discussions that we have by the trefa, which we saw again and again in the third perek, is can a trefa live or can a trefa not live? The Gemara says, really, that issue becomes irrelevant to our discussion. Look, when it comes to an animal has strong life force. So even if we say that a trefa is chaya, but that's by an animal, by a fish, once it has a piercing in its intestine, done. It's at that point in time now considered dead. And by the way, why do we care? Meaning, we're not going to eat it because it's a trefa. There's such a thing as a trefa by fish. So Rashi says the whole issue over here is it going to give off tuma from exactly that point that it becomes a trefa? Avadagim delo nefisha chiyusai lo odilma afila mandem a trefa nechaya. Or you can make the other argument, which is that trefa is an animal discussion, not a fish discussion. The Gemara says, the argument you can make is that trefa only applies to animals because by animals you have a concept of shchita. By fish, there's no such concept of shchita. So maybe there's no such concept of trefa. Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point forward. More Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, more discussion about basically how do you view your Ben Pekua? Dependent animal or independent animal? More permutations of that basic question. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.